Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this weekend. I'm going to tell you, I had one of those weeks this week. You know those weeks where you just get a beat down? You just feel like, wow, it's one thing after the other. It is crazy. And I know we've all experienced those weeks. And what is the game changer in it is how much you actually involve Jesus in the crazy. And I amped up my prayer. I amped up my adoration. I amped up those times where I was overwhelmed or angry or frustrated or just like, is this for real happening right now? And I literally brought Jesus into it. I'm like, Jesus, is this really happening right now? And to you, maybe that sounds like that doesn't resonate. But for some women, it does, because having kids and having just this day in, day out and things just happening and getting a week of just feeling pummeled. And I know some of you out there are like, yes, just know you're not alone and that we're all in this battle together, and that it is so important that we are battling together in prayer. And it matters. My prayers for you matter. Your prayers for me matter. Our prayers for the church matter. So no matter what is going on, say a prayer. Invite Jesus into it. Go to adoration if you can. Go to Mass today. Everybody, you always hear me say this, and I'll say it again later in the show. Go to confession. There is nothing more important than being right with God right now. And no, I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I am speaking to you as someone who loves you and wants you to be right with God, because it is powerful and God wants to do great things in your life. And that is exactly what Sarah Swofford and I are going to talk about today. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Sarah. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today, we have the beautiful Sarah Swofford. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, girl. It's so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We always have such a good time when we talk, and we can go on and on. But today, I have brought you on because you are one of the contributors to the new book, Women Made New, along with all of those other beautiful 11 ladies, including Mother Angelica. And I think your chapter is so pivotal and so real of what women are going through right now. And the title of Sarah's chapter in this book is We Are Women at the Well. So tell us about that, Sarah, and why you chose that title for the chapter.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I want to say thank you so much for asking me to be a part of the book. I was really honored to be asked. And when you were telling me about just what you had on your heart and just the different things that were coming to you in prayer and what you wanted to do, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is so needed. And so it was really wonderful. And then I also love that you gave us all freedom for like, hey, pray about what's on your heart. And because I think all of us as women, there's certain seasons in our life where certain themes are kind of repeated. And it was one of those things where I really almost like wanted to write about it. So you gave me an outlet to kind of like put my thoughts to paper. And so, and which as a busy mom, I don't do very often. I'm like, man, I should journal more. I should do all these things, you know? So it was just a really anointed and graced thing to be even asked to do it. It was so good for my own heart. But I wrote this chapter basically from a lot of the different ministry that I have been doing over these last few years with COVID, and just really seeing a lot of young adults, especially. I do ministry for all ages, but I spend the most time with my high school, college, young adults, young at heart. You know, all of my kind of under 35 crowd. And then they're in turn, a lot of their moms, and just the heart of what it's like to walk with people, you know, going through major transitions in their life. And when I wrote the chapter, I had just come off a women's retreat that I'd put on a talk there at this women's retreat. And I titled it, We Are Women at the Well. And it was just this kind of thought of I've always been fascinated with thinking, like putting myself in the first century or first century times. And I have always thought about, you know, the woman at the well, and just, you know, her story is so real to all of us. But I think it's fun to almost play out not just her, but like, what were the other women at the well like? And, you know, she was, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the woman at the well, but, there's such neat, you know, backstory with it. You know, the fact that she would come at noon, which is the hottest time of the day, and that she would come by herself. And, you know, you start looking at her life and it's so easy to be like, man, that must have been so hard to, you know, she picked the noontime because she was obviously an outcast. She had been snubbed. She had been rejected and dismissed by the other women, because those women, the best time to go to the well is always first thing in the morning where it's cool out. And the well was really kind of like the first century, I don't want to say like social media, but like, you know, phone line. It was, you know, girls, you know, the girls and the women would gather at the well.
Like a go-to, right?
Totally. It was like their chat. You know, I always joke. It was kind of like, well, what did you share last night? And what did you make with your, what else did you have besides hummus last night? You know? So, I mean, just kind of, it was like their chat, and it was their, I mean, I'm sure, unfortunately, it was probably their gossip as well. Right.
Yeah.
So just be able to kind of say like, she wasn't welcomed there. She was rejected. She went during the hottest time, which, as a woman, like, that just had to have been frustrating. You know, you're like, this task is already hard and now it's harder. And then there she is, you know, by herself. And so I think about all the women, you know, listening to this now, no matter how old you are, no matter what stage in life you are in, gosh, how many times have we all felt that like exclusion or rejection, or I'm not good enough to be there, or they're probably talking about me, or, you know, that feeling of I'm just alone in this. And you're dreaming up what other people are probably saying, and, you know, just all this stuff. And she knew she was in a bad, I think she knew she was in a bad spot, right? Like, she knew she was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I think that was on her heart. And so she also had that ache of, I know there's more to my life and I just obviously can't find it, you know? And so there's that frustration. And I mean, I think you could talk for, you know, hours about just her heart and her life. And I think it was just so interesting to write about it in a sense of like, can we not all put ourselves in different places at the well? We're women at the well. And, you know, I think we all relate to the woman at the well at different times in our lives, things we've been through. And then we also relate to the other women who have, you know, been around the well. Maybe they're the ones listening to the gossip. They're the ones saying the gossip. They're the ones judging. They're the ones broken. I love the phrase, I was bullied, you know, myself, I was bullied so bad in seventh grade, I had to switch schools. And I used to always ask my mom, why are they picking on me? Like, what did I do? Like, why me? And my mom, I remember her saying, hurt people hurt people. And, you know, there must be something going on, something so deep in their life that they're hurting so much that they feel like they have to lash out at you. And that just really stuck with me. And, you know, you just think about all those different women sitting around the well, whether they were the ones hurting others, the ones being hurt. You know, it's so easy to put ourselves in those situations. And I think the last few years has been really isolating and hard for a lot of us. And so that whole theme of we are women at the well, I enjoyed writing and really talking about how do we handle that as we go to the well as women in the 21st century.
The one thing I know all women listening can relate, and women, men, priests, whoever is listening to this, understand that demonic dialogue of the beatdown. Mm. Right. Mm, and amen. That we so absolutely engage in, and we allow it almost to have free reign. And we engage in the talk. We engage in the nonsense. We engage in these things put on us that aren't necessarily true. We take the lie in as our own. And that's where we need to stop it immediately, because I can't even imagine the demonic dialogue that woman was being fed as she would walk there in the sun and going through hardship. And it was like in her face, in her eye. Mm. And it probably was her daily beat down from the evil one of like, look at you and look where you have to be and what you're doing because of your life and your sins. And you're going to do it all over again. And I think all of us can relate to that. But this is where we allow ourselves to get bullied, I feel like, as women especially. And we have the power to put a stop to that. We have the power to say, as Emily Wilson, I remember saying, just say out loud, Jesus, tell me the truth. because devil can't stand the truth, and he doesn't like being put in the light, and he's got to flee. But at the same time, we have to control what we allow and what we take on as our own and what the devil is just trying to bully us into.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I mean, that's one of the things that sometimes during my women's talk, I will have women like take a deep breath in and like, you know, inhale and then exhale. And I always say, like, what you're inhaling is truth and what you're exhaling is lies. And I just feel like sometimes as women, it's just, it's hard to get away from them. We have to, like, you know, I always talk about being the boss of your thoughts. You know, you have to like say these lies out loud, like put them in your hand, say it out loud. And if it doesn't sound like our loving Heavenly Father, then take that thought and throw it against the wall and just, you know, cast it as far as you can from you. And in the name of Jesus, like renounce it. And then replace that lie with a truth. And say that truth out loud and then put it back in your head, you know, because it's one thing to just be like, oh, I don't believe that, or, oh, I don't, I'm just going to stop thinking that or whatever. But until we start, I love what you just said, you know, until we start saying like, no, that is a lie from the evil one. And I'm going to choose to not listen to it. I'm not going to give it a foothold. I'm not going to give it space. I'm not going to give it airtime in my head. And I think that I personally have had to work on this for years. And I think it'll be something that we all work on as women, because the devil just loves to poke. He loves to poke and prod into old wounds or try to create new wounds. And it's just like, shut up, like back up, you know, like I don't have time for you. Like, I don't have time for this, you know? So back up. I just don't have time. I love the not today. I love the not today Satan t-shirts. I love them. I'm like, not today. Not this hour, Satan. I don't have time for you.
So, yeah, there you go. Today we are talking with Sarah Swafford. For those of you that just tuned in, and we are discussing her chapter, We Are Women at the Well, in the new book, Women Made New, Transformation in Adversity, and just starting your life over, right? This is almost like a reset. Yep. And I was talking with Teresa Tomeo today earlier, because she has a chapter in the book. And this book really, I think, is such an amazing gifting book to all women. Like, if you're right out of, I would say maybe out of high school, like graduating, and all the way, if you're 99, 100, you know, like God is not through with you. And that to give the gift of starting over, to like facing yourself, facing that one question, Sarah, and tell me this isn't a difficult question, because it even is for me at times, of what is it that is keeping you from becoming the woman God is calling you to be? That is the question I feel that women need to really reflect on and look at and answer, because that is a scary one. Because whatever that one thing is that truly keeps you from God, there's a lot of fluff around it and vices and things like that, but it stems from like something. So what is that something? Absolutely. And that's where you go. That's where you slay. That's where you bind and you rebuke, and you take Jesus into those dark places, and he will crush those strongholds. But if you can't even ask and have the courage to ask yourself that question, it's like you almost sit there bound up on the other side of this wall, like some slave, and being just led by the evil one and your wounds and your vices and maybe not feeling good enough. And I lived that life for a very long time. And that's why I can speak on it, because that was me, you know. And until we decide as women to show up to our own fight, it's like you're just sitting there, and God has so much more for everybody. Yep. And there is a seat at the table for everybody, because your gifts are not my gifts. My gifts are not your gifts. And we all have something to give this world, and it's powerful. And the devil would love for us to turn on each other and be catty and competing and territorial. Yep. And that's how he turns women on each other. Because when we come together and we raise each other up, we're powerful. Because we have the Holy Spirit with us, and God is behind us, and you're amazing, and your ministry is amazing. And I wanted to highlight your ministry, because you reach souls I will never touch, and you reach souls that may not understand me or my message, but they understand Sarah Swafford. And it's important, ladies, that you build up the other women in your life. And if they have a problem with you, or they're competing with you, they have issues with you, just know that's really their own insecurity. That's really their own problem and brokenness, and say a prayer for that, because I used to give into that, and I used to take the bait and compete, and because I felt less than, like, nobody's going to put me down. Nobody's going to make me feel that way. Mm. Like, who is she to think she is this you know what I mean? And you take the bait, engaging in petty nonsense when we're warriors, ladies, we're warriors for the kingdom, and we don't have time for petty nonsense where the devil wants us to be eating from the trash when God has a seat at his table and you are missing out. So this book is that.
Yeah, I love that because I think that it's so funny. This is one of the questions that I've received over the last, like, you know, 10, 15 years of doing ministry. And like, you are one of my first and dearest friends in ministry. You and Jason, I mean, I'll get emotional. I'll start crying if I start talking about just how much you guys mean to me and how much, you know, you've done for me and how much I love you guys and look up to you so much. And it's always just made me laugh because, like, over the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, you know, you have friends in ministry, you know, I'm really good friends with, you know, like Emily Wilson or Jackie or Leah or, you know, Katie, like Harfield. There's like all these women in ministry. I can't even name them all. They're just such beautiful souls. And, and people will say things like, you know, so is it, do you feel like you're in competition with them? Like, is there other like speakers? And like, I literally laugh out loud and I'm like, do you guys really think that each one of us thinks that we can like win every soul for Christ and that we don't need any help or each other? I go, every single one of those girls and countless more are some of my dearest friends in life, and they get it. And they understand that this is like the serious attack that comes with doing ministry like this. Like, they are some of my most like devout warriors, because we could never go into these battles without each other. And there's no competition. It's really looking across the lane and going, oh my gosh, like, she is running so hard in her lane and she is killing it. And she is doing things that I could never do. Like, she's doing things that like you said, like reaching people that I could never reach. And like, I think the Holy Spirit laughs at the competition question, because it's like, he's got so many different people and so many different personalities and charisms and apostolates, and people are just running hard. And we're just cheering each other on and laughing and drinking wine and crying sometimes and like doing all the things, because it's like really hard. And it's just really like, we're all on fire. One of my favorite quotes is, the Lord has set me on fire and people come to watch me burn. And I think that that's just like all of us. I know, like, that's all great. Of us women are just on fire for God and on fire for the church and on fire for like saving people from everything that you just talked about, Crystalina, like the brokenness, the heaviness, the lack of confidence as a daughter of God, the sadness, the loneliness. Like I always joke, like, I'm here to fight for you, like, in heels. Like, I am here because I love you and I love your soul and I want you to be whole. And that's what I think, it's just so great when I meet other friends in ministry, because it's so easy for people on the outside to look at it in such a secular way. But everyone on the inside is like, it's like that scene from Hunger Games where the girl, you know, where she like holds up her two fingers and is like, I got you, you know, like we're together, you know?
Yeah,
and so I remember that hurt people thing, you know? And I remember my mom telling me that, and I shared that in a talk one time, and this girl came up to me afterwards and she was just like sobbing, and she gave me this big hug and she looked at me and she said, you know, like, you're right, like, hurt people sometimes hurt people. And she looked at me and she goes, but healed people heal people. And she's like, you're a healer, Sarah. Like, you heal people. And I just remember, like, man, like, I cried. Like, something in my heart was just like, it's true. Like, as women, you have a choice whether you're a hurter or a healer. And we have to heal ourselves. We have to heal with the power of Jesus Christ to be able to heal others. And I think that it's just so beautiful when I watch women figure, like, through this, like, again, through this book, through other, like, ways of just, like, set, like, kind of like setting down what everything that they're not and picking up everything that they are.
That's right.
And just being able to say, like, yeah, like, I don't want to be someone who, Sister Miriam James is one of my best friends, and she's like, let's just canonize her now, you know, like, she's just amazing. And
right?
And sometimes I'll just call her and I'll just ask, you know, I have a question or something for her. And, I just remember, you know, I was listening to one of her talks one time and she repeated it to me, and she was like, yeah, it's just so that idea of like suffering that's not transformed is transmitted. And it was just like, it's so true in my own life, in my life. You know, I think about what kind of a mom I want to be and what kind of, we all are out here, you know, doing our very, very best. And I really have come to the conclusion that the best thing I can do for my husband, my children, my family, my friends, even in ministry, is just to make sure that I am healing and I am whole. And we're never going to be completely whole. We're never going to be completely healed. We're never going to show up, you know, someday in confession and be like, you know, I've just completely rocked this and I've got nothing for you, Father. Like, we're never, like, that is not a thing. It's just, but to be able to say, like, like I am taking steps towards this and I surrender my pride and my vanity and my jealousy and my competition and all those things that the world thinks is, you know, so, like has to be done, is so appropriate, is so part of the game. You know, just the same way I tell the devil to back up, like he can keep his games and he can keep his lies. Amen.
Amen, Sarah. We are talking with the beautiful Sarah Swafford about her chapter in the new book, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding. They give in to that almost backbiting, competition, gossipy ways that the world invites us to, because we're trying to handle and fight our problems on a worldly level. And I've said this numerous times on this radio show to all my listeners out there that we are women of God. We are God's people and we are not of this world. So why would we try to solve our problems in a worldly way? And when you do that, you end up frustrated, overwhelmed, and you don't get the end result you want because you're approaching it wrong. But if you solve it on your knees with God next to you and pray about what is happening in your life, you get the answers, you get the solution, and you move forward. But you're moving with Jesus. And that's when problems get solved. That's when you win wars. That's how you overcome battles. And you have to have a mind just check and transform the way you actually approach your everyday life as a woman of God and answering and calling out these problems on a heavenly level with prayer versus going and looking things up and talking to friends and gossiping and judging and blah, 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 you know, the way the world is. No. We're women of God. We hold our head high. We go to Jesus. We go to our King and we kneel down and we ask for the answers and we ask for the solutions and he will give them to us. Period. End of story. Right?
Amen. Yeah. So beautiful. Absolutely.
And the thing is, I read this quote and I can't remember where I found it, but it was, the talk is different at the table of warriors for God. Right. And that's
absolutely
where we want to be, at God's table. And we're all invited. I don't care if you've been raped, you've had an abortion, you've cheated on your husband, or you have a messed up marriage, you've been abused in your past, whatever situation. First of all, I want women to know, Sarah, and you know this, they're not alone. They are not alone. They're not the only one. And they don't have to fight this battle by themselves. And they don't have to stay in that situation. Anything can change with the grace of God. And it matters. And it matters what they do. Their decisions right now and where they go from here matter. So what I always do every show is encourage women. Okay, it's Saturday. What does Saturday mean, Sarah? Confession.
It's confession time, baby.
Let's go. That's right. I love it so much.
Get
that purse. You get those heels on. Throw on a veil if you wear one. And you get in that confession line and own it. And that is your starting point, ladies, of your new life. That's it right there.
I love it.
And just go and we all can be a force to be reckoned with God. But if you don't show up to your own fight, forget about it. You'll get eaten alive. I got eaten alive. You've gotten eaten alive in your life. And that's just how it works. If you don't do it with Jesus, you will fall flat on your face, right?
Amen.
So I want you to almost recap for me, Sarah, the women at the well, because some people may not know their Bible and know what that story is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of my favorites. There's a really beautiful painting that has Jesus. It's like this just beautiful well, and it has the woman at the well, and she's got this big, heavy jug, and Jesus is just like leaning against the well. And I love this this image, because I think a lot of women, you know, it's beautiful art. But the story of the woman at the well, you know, she was broken, and she was on her, you know, seventh husband, and everybody in town knew about it. And it was one of those things where she had been shunned and outcast. And so she would go up to the well as a Samaritan, you know, woman. She wasn't allowed to be with the other women. She had been kind of given the scarlet letter, if you will. And so she would sneak out and go during the heat of the day. And one day she shows up to the well, and there's this man here, that there's a man, you know, sitting there. And she was like, he says, "Can I have something to drink?" And first she's like, "You shouldn't be talking to me." And it's kind of beautiful, because she, if you think about it, she's like trying to protect Jesus, like, you know, her brokenness and her shame. But she's like, you know, you could get in trouble if you talk to me, because I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman. And then their conversation, I just love how Jesus is like unfazed, you know, it's like, and I think that's something that just everything that you just talked about was like, yeah, okay, what else you got? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, it's such a, like, a confession thing, you know? It's like, yeah, okay, great, I'm not moving. You know what I mean? Like, yes. What else you got? And I just really love that image of Christ. Like, not, I'm not shocked that that's, like, one of the ways that we can see him is, like, yeah, I know. And then it's really beautiful again, because she's like, if you only knew what I've done. And he's like, I've known it. I know everything you've done. And he proceeds to tell her, like, I know that you're not married to the man that, you know, I mean, he tells her everything she's ever done, which again is just like, we as women try to hide so much.
Put some lipstick on it, right?
Oh my gosh, lipstick on it. We try to put a little Jesus frosting on it, you know, like try to make it look good, whatever. But we're so good at, you know, just trying to keep up appearances. Amen.
Amen.
And so I think that it's just so great, to see her, you know, she's kind of bare, you know, like she's bare because he just said it. And one of my favorite things, I wrote about this in the chapter, is there's this beautiful quote from St. Augustine where I'm going to paraphrase it because it's long, but he basically says, we drag heavy jars up steep hills to throw the jug into the well, to draw the water, to drink the water, and to leave unsatisfied. Like the water, like the thirst will never be quenched. And I remember praying with that quote and I was just like, man, if that isn't all of us, right? Like as a woman, what do we carry in those jars? Like what do we drag up a hill day after day after day? What do we fill in that jar that, you know, what is it? Is it insecurities? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it abandonment? Is it hollowness? Is it, you know, if anyone knew, you know, fill in the blank, like, is it, you know, whatever it is, like, what is it that's in that jar for you personally? I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to everyone listening because it's not always the same. At different times in our lives, I think we're putting different things in our jugs, right? Like, I think we're dragging different things up the hill, and just that image of this heavy jar. And in this image on that beautiful art, in that artwork, the jug is almost as big as her. Like, it's this huge jug.
Wow.
And you just think about these heavy, heavy, heavy jugs and jars that are filled with all of this heaviness. Maybe it's regret. Maybe it's, you know, things from your past. Maybe it's fears of the future. You know, how many of us put fears of the future in a jar and carry it around? You know, it's like not even real, but it is in our own minds. And Jesus is sitting on the edge of this beautiful, you know, on the edge of this well. And he's like, what if I told you I could give you water that'll make you never thirst again? Like, what if I grabbed the jar from you and, like, broke it against this well because you don't need to carry it anymore? Like, what if I took this jug from you and replaced it with the waters of eternal life? And I think about what that means for this woman at the well. But I also think about what it means for you and for me and for every person listening, because I think it's so easy as women to be like, no, I got this. I can do this. Like the control freak comes out, right? Like the person that's like, no, God, like I can do this. Like, watch this. This is going to be amazing. Like,
yeah,
I'm even
weak,
doing this
right?
for you.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, check this out. This is going to rock your world, you know? And he's just like, you're still carrying this heavy jar. You know, like, what are you doing? The jar. So like, I mean, I think sometimes as women, we're even good at like carrying things that the Lord's like, you don't have to do all that, you know, even if it's a good, you know, something that we say in the Swafford house a lot is don't let good become the enemy of the best. And that's just something where it's like, man, there's so many things in our lives even that are good, but is it what I've prayed about and discerned? And is it what God's calling me to? Have I sat with him and listened to him? Have I sat at the well, handed him my jar and had him hold it for a while and start taking things out of it and being like, yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that. And that's what confession is. That's what coming to the Lord in prayer every day is. That's where we reattune. Like you just said, reset. You know, I was joking with someone the other day. I started doing this. You're going to laugh at this, Crystalina, but I started doing this. I call them holy smoke breaks. So like, I don't actually smoke, but like, you know how sometimes you just have to like, someone has to like go outside and just like take a break and smoke a cigarette. Like,
yes.
So I don't actually smoke, but like, sometimes I just have to step outside and like just have like a holy smoke break with the Lord. And like, I was just talking with somebody about it and it's been so good for my life. Like I have, you know, I have 5 kids and I homeschool co-op. And so it's just like, there's always people around. And sometimes I just have to like walk outside and kind of just like mentally kind of give my stuff over to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
I have to just like hand him stuff and be like, this is gnawing at me as I fold the laundry and do the dishes and talk to these people and hang out with these littles. And, you know, it's still gnawing at me. And if I don't just like a deal with it, you know, whatever it is, And I think that's the same as, like, you know, yes, it's going to confession and dropping things off. It's going to spiritual, you know, direction. It's going to counseling. It's going to these big things. But I think in my own life, I've had to really give myself permission to also do this, like periodically throughout the day. You know what I mean? Just like, you just can't go on autopilot.
Yes.
And you, like, obviously get your mental prayer, get your rosary in, get your, you know, get your daily mass in, like, do all the things you can do, you know, kill it on the sacraments, right? Like, do, like, fill that tank. But I would I'd be remiss to say that in my, I turned 39 for the first time this year. I plan on turning it a few more times. But in my 39 years of life, I really feel like I should have done that a lot more when I was in my 20s.
And even,
you know, in my 30s of, like, I get kind of in a zone and I'm just like, go, 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 go. And I have, I just think it's sometimes good to step back and be like, what, you know, maybe inhale that truth and exhale that lie and say it out loud. Just step outside and just kind of take that 5 minutes where you just need a, 5 minute break to just kind of, like, reset. And I'm speaking to myself and, you know, everybody on the call, everybody on this podcast, cause it's just like, man, I think we all just, we're hard on ourselves. Amen. Like, women are really hard on themselves. And I think to just be real and be able to, like, have that conversation with the Lord throughout the day, all day, as you know, without ceasing, but also just, sometimes it's hard when the demands on everyone are really high. And I know I'm speaking to people with a bunch of demands and, cause we're women and we care and we love and we serve and we sacrifice and we suffer. And it's just like, we want to do all those things well, and we want to do it with the Lord. And so that's just something that, that woman at the well, like, my favorite part about the story though, is that he says not to say anything and she goes back and converts the whole town. Cause it's, like, so female, like, it's so female to be like, okay, sure. Yeah. I won't say anything. And then if it's a good thing, it's like, I can't keep this to myself. Like, there's no way. It's like when you find great skincare or something, you're like, I got to tell everybody.
You got to tell everybody about it.
So that's in a nutshell, that's me paraphrasing the woman at the well, but I really encourage everybody to go and read it in the, you know, read it in the scriptures. And also I can't wait for them to read it in the book. So
we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN and we will be right back. So stay tuned with Sarah Swofford. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this morning. And I am interviewing Sarah Swofford, and we are discussing her chapter in the new book, Women Made New. And her title of her chapter is We Are a Woman at the Well. And can you kind of just, for those of them that are just tuning in right now, Sarah, just give them a kind of a just little synopsis of what your chapter is all about.
Yeah. I mean, I loved writing it. I've always been obsessed with the woman at the well and thinking about what it was like to not only be her, but also those other women that would go in to the well in the morning and kind of what they were going through and what their life was like, maybe even how they treated her and how hard it was for them to not judge her. And so just, I wrote about just kind of that play, that first century play, and how we definitely have the same themes in the 21st century. And so, I really love when Christ meets her, at the well and she's carrying this heavy jar and it's just filled with so many insecurities and doubts and shame and embarrassment and fears, and her just, you know, him saying, like, can I please take that from you, and give you the waters of eternal life, the waters of that'll make you never thirst again. And I just know for all of us listening on this call, it's to think about that kind of, you know, not only heaven and just, you know, that eternal reward, but also just that peace and joy and freedom that come with living with Christ and being in relationship with him and being in his arms and in the church. And just feeling like we don't have to carry the same heavy jars that the world tells us we have to carry, or the same heavy jars that everyone else is carrying. It's like, no, and then as women, I think, you know, not to be the women at the well that hurt other women, but to be women at the well who can say, I've been healed by the Lord, and I want to help others take their heavy jars, and I want to help smash heavy jars with Jesus. Like, I want to take those heavy jars for women and give them to the Lord for them and help them to get rid of all of those things that they carry that are just so heavy.
Right. And that's the thing. And there's some women right now listening, or they're thinking of their sister or grandma or aunt or whatever, thinking, well, I can never be healed, or she thinks she never can be healed because of what she's done in her life or what has happened. What advice do you have for those women?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's why I love the title of the book, like Women Made New. It's so beautiful. I think it's great to look to the scriptures and you think about, I mean, we're talking about the women of the well, but you're looking at Mary Magdalene. You're looking at just some of the great saints, just different women that, you know, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future, right? And I just feel like, you know, everyone that I meet and everyone that is walking around that you pass every day has a story. And I think it's just so beautiful when we as women that have, you know, been walking with the Lord, you know, I love the whole saying of like a Christian is just a beggar who knows where the food is, you know, like and we're all hungry and the Christian's just pointing we're just pointing to like, hey, I found food, like come over here, like eat with me, you know. And so I think for women who think that I'm too far gone, like this could never be forgiven. I think my question back to them is like, then you don't know my God. Like you don't know the God I serve.
That's right.
You know, I always let, there's like that quote that it's like, I don't tell God how big my problems is. I tell my problems how big my God is. You know,
yes.
It's like, I love that saying because it's like, it's so true. And I think that the devil loves to douse us with shame and confusion and embarrassment. And especially as women, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's just, I think it's, we feel so much pressure to feel like we have it all together and we have all the answers. And especially, you know, I think as women, it's like, don't show signs. I think men sometimes you think that they get the kind of the stereotype of like, don't show weakness. And I think that sometimes women struggle with that just as much. It's like you can't be weak. You can't show weakness because someone might, you know, use that against you as a woman and you might become like a chess piece in someone's game, you know?
Yes.
And I remember feeling that a lot, you know, going through being bullied in junior high. And this was even before social media. And that's one of the reasons why I think I have such a passion for doing ministry, is especially for young adults, is I don't know how they do it. I'm so like, I'm in awe of just the hand they've been dealt, just with social media, with texting, with having to navigate their young adult life with, you know, image and like self-worth and, you know, just even dating and just, it's so messy. And so I just have such a heart for it. Someone said one time, show me your misery, I'll show you your ministry. And I was like, oh, preach. Like if that ain't true, it's like, yeah, like it makes me miserable for them. And I want to be there for them. And I think that especially women, but I, you know, I work with young adult women, but I've been in conversations with women in their 80s,
yes.
who, you know, we were at a Genesis of Eve conference. It was a women's conference and it was beautiful. We had people from, I think they were like 13 to like 90, you know,
yeah.
It was just awesome. And I remember watching Jesus in the Eucharist be processed around the room. And I was watching these like women in their 80s put their hand up and just sob as Jesus went by, as they just like reached for our Lord. And I remember talking with some of the coordinators, and one of them told us that there was an elderly woman, like she was like 80, 85, something like that. And she went to confession for the first time in 45 years.
Wow.
That at the conference. And they said that she was just like, the joy and the peace and the tears were just, it's like something she said she's never experienced before.
Wow.
And so I think that one word that I have to all those women out there that are like, if people only knew, or like, I'm too far gone, is I'm pretty sure that that woman would tell you not to wait another day to go and take all of this to the Lord, and that there's nothing to fear, and that the Lord just doesn't want you to be chained down anymore. He wants you to come to him. And one of the things that I like to tell people is the Lord doesn't expect you to come to him put together. He expects you to come to him messy. So you don't have to put on a front for him. You know, you don't have to get, I think that's one thing I even said back in the day was like, well, I got to like change this, fix this, do this, you know, change that. And then I'll like present myself to the Lord. Then I'll like go to the Lord and he'll love me. And, you know, I say this in my testimony. It's like, man, if that is so backwards, like the Lord is just literally asking you, begging you to bring everything to him and not to hide anything from him. And he already knows, like in the same as the woman at the well, like he told her everything he did, or everything she did. And he was not fazed by it. And so you're never going to shock the priest. You're never going to, I mean, the only thing you're going to be shocked by is the amount of joy and peace and the weightlessness that you feel. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to be shocking in the confessional. And it's going to be shocking to you because you have been carrying something around that you just didn't need to carry around. And, I tell people all the time, I'm like, God doesn't love you because you're perfect and because you're good and because you've done everything right. God loves you because he's perfect and he's good. And his love for you doesn't go up or down based on your performance. Like, that's a human love. That is not a divine love. Like that is not how our Lord loves. And the more you can, like for me, the more I understood that, the more that I believed that, the more convicted I was in that, the faster I ran to him. And the more I was able to shed that, what kept me back and what held me down and what kept me worried about things that I did not need to be worried about, things that the Lord was not worried about. So I just really encourage anyone out there that's struggling with this kind of stuff of just, I'm too far gone. That is just a lie straight from the devil, and exhale that lie and go breathe in some truth.
So one of the things that shocks me is a lot of people think that Jesus, he ascended into heaven, he went up to the clouds, and that we're almost orphaned and that he left us behind. And like, if you look around the world right now, it seems like the evil is winning. Right. And it's overcoming a lot of things, which is the furthest thing from the truth. And Jesus did not leave us. We're not orphans. We need to stop acting like it, and that we have to succumb to all this evil and this nonsense going on in the world. When I saw Jesus this morning, I went to Mass, you know, I went to I went to adoration. I sat at his feet and I talked with him, and he helped me and he ministered to me. In adoration, ladies, go to the one who loves you most and whom you belong to and calls you. Go to adoration. And this is the thing. God whispers in our hearts. You've experienced it, Sarah. I've experienced it. We know. And those promptings of the Holy Spirit and those little whispers that you hear God calling and asking you to do something. Sometimes you like it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to do it. Sometimes you want to run the opposite direction. I've experienced all of those, right? But the thing is with that is that I heard a pastor once say that you don't just pull anybody off the street and whisper in their ear. No, whispering is an intimate act that you do with people that are close to you in your circle. And the fact Jesus is leaning over in an intimate way and whispering in your heart to you, that is something to be taken seriously. Not to be taken lightly, and it holds weight. And whatever he's asking us to do, it holds weight in the heavenly realm, and it holds weight here on earth, and it has the power to change the course of your entire life. So don't blow Jesus off, don't put him on a list, and don't make him later. It is important today, right now, and you never know where you can go or what he's going to ask you to do or whose life you can change, maybe your own or somebody else's, but it matters, and to take it seriously.
Amen.
So with your chapter, Sarah, how would you kind of sum it all up for the women that are like, I want to read about that? Is there anything else that you'd like to convey through that?
Yeah, I think that it was just really fun to be able to, you know, put ourselves into that situation. Because I think, like I said before, we all can see ourselves in different stages of our life as different characters, you know, in that story. And then to kind of apply it to the now. Because we are women at the well now. We don't have, you know, we're 21st century women. So we don't have the well. We don't have the sheep to shear, typically. We don't have hummus to make. Well, I mean, I love making hummus. But you know what I mean? We don't have the same, like, maybe daily. We don't have the daily in and out, right? Like, we don't have the daily things. But we definitely have the same. I mean, we're human and we're female. And so there's still going to be the same, you know, struggles, the same insecurities, the same fears and worries. And I think that the question is, you know, how are we going to play this out? How do we, you know, like I said, what's our role to play in this? And one of the things that I really loved about, and I wrote about this in the book as well, is kind of sweet. If you do first century history, the well was also the place where men would come to court women. It was where men would come to pursue women.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah. And so Jesus is standing there in, you know, again, she's at the well and she's broken. And he basically is sitting there saying, I see you and I am pursuing you. and I desire your heart. And it's, he's the bridegroom. He's the divine bridegroom. And I think as women, you know, we are so desperate to be seen, to be known, to be loved, to be cherished, to be, you know, affirmed, to be, you know, it's in our female heart. You know, we could do a whole conversation on Adam and Eve and what, from the very beginning, what did Eve desire? And, you know, you could just get into all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we look at ourselves 21st century women and it's like, we still desire those things. Right. And so it's really cool to see this woman who has looked for these things, you know, in these relationships that have been broken. And here is this relationship sitting here pursuing her, this bridegroom who's saying, I want to give you all those things. I want to be your first love. I want you to come to me and I will set right all of these other relationships. I can do this for you. I will give you that peace and joy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So to have, you know, to have that image of, you know, someone would go there to court someone when they're in, like when they want to love them. And to have, you know, the bridegroom there for her. I really enjoyed writing about all of that. And I really enjoyed, you know, being able to put myself in. I love to pray with images. And so I really encourage everybody listening to, you know, take that scripture reading, take it to adoration, you know, take it to your front porch, take it to wherever, you know, a quiet place and read, you know, read the scriptures and just kind of, where am I at right now? Am I the woman at the well? Am I one of the women? Like, is there someone in my life that I need to go reach out to? You know, am I one of the women that, you know, maybe had been trying to talk to the woman at the well? You know, like maybe am I one of the women that was with Jesus getting food? You know, maybe I'm with, and then I come back and I see this woman who's had her life change running into town and being like, there's another one, you know, like go team, you know, like just kind of pray with that. And I think what I really want the women to pray with is, what is in my jar right now that I am carrying up that steep hill that I need to hand over to Jesus? Like what is in my life? And that's for all of us. I don't care what your age is, stage in life. Everybody has something that they're carrying that Jesus is like, hey, I'd really love to take that from you. I'd really love to heal that. I'd really love to redeem that. I'd love to, you know, I'd love to take that suffering and transform it so that you don't feel like you have, you know, that you're going to transmit it or that you're going to hurt someone else because of your hurting. Like, let me redeem it. And I know that is all easier said than done, but I also know that there's really nothing else in life worth doing than working on that healing and that, you know, and that redeeming of not only our own hearts, but the people around us and helping others hand over their jars. I mean, in the end of the day, I think Jesus would say, yeah, that's a worthy task in our lives. Amen.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And now if women, because we're wrapping it up here, would like to find more information about you, your ministry and all the beautiful things that you do also with your husband, where can they find you, Sarah?
Yeah. We ended up doing the swaffords.com because it's just easier. My husband and I.
Oh, that's so good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, emotionalvirtue.com is where I dwell and we just forwarded it over there. So the swaffords.com is where you can find a lot of stuff that we've done together that we do separately. We absolutely love doing ministry together during COVID. That was actually kind of COVID doesn't get very many points, right?
Yeah.
But one cool thing it did was we were quarantined together. And so we did a lot of Zooming things together, like marriage conferences, and just I loved doing, you know, different parenting things, and it was just kind of neat. And since we were together, it was fun to hop on together. And so we've really enjoyed doing all that. But yeah, you can find all that stuff over at theswaffords.com, and it's a party over there, that's for sure.
Oh, I love it. And also, ladies, if you're going to sit with this scripture, I would love, Sarah, can you send me the picture of the woman at the well that you're talking about? And I'm going to post it after the show's over so you ladies can have that and maybe take it to prayer and that imagery with you.
Yeah, I would love to. I will definitely get it
visual.
To you.
I'm a visual person and it helps me so much more. And I would love to have you and your hubby on to talk about your latest recent project that you two did together. It looks really exciting. I think you can help a lot of people.
Yeah, we did the What We Believe, the Beauty of the Catholic Faith. We went over to Rome and filmed for 10 days
and
took the catechism and the creed and walked through the churches and just kind of broke it all down. It goes hand in hand with Father Mike's new podcast on the catechism. So they're kind of a hand in glove kind of thing. And it's been really cool to listen to people of all ages kind of get into, like, what does it mean to be Catholic? Why should people care? What did it look like in the very beginning? And what does God really want for the church right now? And so it's been really fun and really beautiful.
Yay. See, God can do unbelievable things if you just say that yes. no matter how hard, how scary, and just look at you, for example, in everything in your life and all the amazing ways God is touching you and touching other women through your yes. So it is so important, imperative. Sarah, thank you for who you are, everything that you do, and also being a part of this book. And I look forward to having you and your husband on.
Oh, we would love it. Thanks for everything you do, Christina. You and Jason are just amazing. And I'm so grateful to both of you for all that you guys do.
We'll be praying for you and your family. God bless. To thank my guest again, Sarah Swafford, for being here. What an amazing woman of God. And if you would like to purchase my new book, Women Made New, you can go to ewtnrc.com, type in coupon code NEWBOOKS, and you can get 10% off. I hope you all have a wonderful and blessed weekend. If you can, make it to confession. And I am going to leave you with a beautiful reflection from Patricia Sandoval, our very own here at EWTN. She is amazing as well. And don't forget, we are still in the Respect Life Month. So God bless you, everyone, and see you next weekend.
My friends, my name is Patricia Sandoval, International Pro-Life and Chastity Speaker. For our pro-life reflection today, I would like to encourage everyone to pray for life in front of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Each October, the Church in the United States celebrates Respect Life Month. And the first Sunday of October, it's observed as Respect Life Sunday. As Catholics, we are called to cherish, defend, and protect those who are most vulnerable from the beginning of life to its end, and at every point in between. I want to encourage all of you this month of October to spend a little more time before the Blessed Sacrament to pray for the conversion of those who work to advance the culture of death and to pray for an end of abortion. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like your heart.